The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Gimmick Podcast on the Wrestling Viewpoint Network. Thanks to Mr. Ken Knapsack. You can follow at Ken Knapsack for putting up our last episode. Just in time for a post-Rumble, pre-Rumble catch-up. We had a little bit of a networking issue, but we appreciate his help during that dark time. And you should too, damn it. Thank you to everybody listening live. Listening live. Absolutely live, as evident by last week when we did a two-week-old show. But
yes.
I'm one of your hosts, the Internet Soapbox, Mark Donica, joined as always by Mr. Brandon Taylor.
Hello!
Two of the thirds of the NXT team. We might be growing a number soon.
Yeah.
We're putting the applications out there.
Right. I mean, we're receiving a lot of applications.
There are a lot of
people who want to become a part of the NXT team.
Exactly.
And I saw sort of our interim fourth NXT team member over the weekend.
Yeah, you did, Mr. Bill Hancock.
Yep, and he was enjoying the festivities.
But we're going to talk about those festivities.
The Royal Rumble.
A lot has happened both in the world of professional wrestling and just social media in general. We have some take from our wonderful listeners, and we're going to get to those. We usually like to stay pretty positive, but I wanted to talk about some of the unfortunate negative sides. Did you see Matt Hardy on Twitter last week?
No.
After he won the title.
Yeah.
He kind of went a little crazy and was talking about how Triple H would have liked how he buried Ethan Carter III. he's like talking about how NXT was built on his back and really just like, dude, chill. You're in a good place.
It's all gimmick. I'm absolutely positive it's all gimmick. He loves doing stuff like that.
But once you start using the F word, back at fans. But I think the weirdest thing about that, and I wouldn't be talking about it, if the Impact Wrestling account didn't retweet it.
It didn't at all?
They did.
They did?
Yeah, they retweeted one of his ones about that was a direct reference to the WWE.
Really?
And I was just like, why? Which brings me to the other thing I wanted to talk about. This weird threat of a lawsuit that they did against AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, and Karl Anderson. Did you see that?
No.
So the weekend... Well, no, because you were there, so don't worry. So the weekend... It was like Friday or Saturday. They talked about how they were in talks to sign AJ, Doc, and Karl.
Sure.
And that something about them being used as leverage for their WWE deal and really weird, really bizarre. But that opened up a potential lawsuit against them from New Japan, because that means they were talking to Gallows and Anderson while they were still under contract.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really weird, really bizarre, but also just like, hey, no, us. They were talking to us. Us. It's all about us.
They do that. They're trying to do that a lot.
And the icing on the cake was Sunday night, after AJ Styles debuted at the Rumble. It's like, congratulations to AJ Styles on his new path. Or just as a way to be like, he came from us. So
yeah.
It was a very weird weekend.
I think TNA's changed its medication, and they're waiting for it to really kick in.
See, the weirdest thing about it is TNA is doing really well on Pop right now.
Good.
But ever since the network change, they've been getting increasing ratings every week, and hopefully it's due to the ease of access from their user base, as well as the network itself actually promoting them.
Right, and I think it actually, the direction of the company is going in the right direction.
Yeah.
They're steering themselves away from older talent to younger talent that's less known.
Mm-hmm.
So you...
That's what made TNA so exciting in the past,
right,
is they had a couple of people. There were a couple of people here and there that you were like, oh, I recognize them, and they brought you in. Like, I'll never forget Bobby Brown calling Kevin Nash Grey Goose. That was really weird and random, because he looked at Razor and he's like, Grey Goose. Like, it was really, really silly business. But Yeah, that was the thing that I liked about TNA back in the day. It was, who are all of these guys that I can get behind? Which is what makes AJ Styles' appearance. And thank you to Mr. The Clement W on Twitter. He wanted us to kind of talk about a couple of things, instant reaction. But AJ Styles immediately coming in and sort of changing what's possible with talent signings. Because also this week, Austin Aries debuted in NXT at a taping, which we probably won't see for a couple weeks.
Right.
But WWE announced it, so it's not a spoiler or anything.
Right.
So that immediately, you see, here's the high quality, the high caliber of wrestlers that we get with Samoa Joe, with Prince Devitt, with Austin Aries. But AJ Styles debuts immediately on the main roster.
Right.
What does that say?
I think it says that AJ Styles has been working in front of television for long enough to know how to use cameras, and he made a big enough name for himself overseas to draw a large audience both nationally and internationally. And I think it's a good business move.
Yeah.
Because I think they can trust him to be a draw. They can actually trust him to deliver on the ratings front, both at home and abroad. So I think it's all business. It's all business, and they trust AJ with a level of quality that WWE brings to the table, because they are all about the quality of their brand, and they wouldn't put somebody in the forefront who they believe would hurt the quality of said brand.
No, I agree. The mind just explosion.
Yeah.
That everybody was like, oh yeah, you know, AJ Styles, he's going to be in the Rumble. Yeah, but when he showed up, everybody
the reaction was explode.
A fun side story. So I was working that day at the AfterBuzz TV studios. And the Rumble started, you know, like 5 minutes before the end of our shows traditionally.
Right.
And there was a guest on the show that I was doing, and I was like, okay, Rumble just started, whatever, I'll wrap them up and whatever. And right as we're like, okay, and you can find us on Twitter, right as that was happening, AJ Styles showed up, and I was like, I have stuff to do, but not now. But it was why now? Of course, he's number three. What did you think about his performance in the Rumble?
I thought he looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Did not miss any steps at all. He was very, very giving to a lot of people, and a lot of people were very giving to him. They wanted to make him shine, and he showed that he can really just get in there and mix it up with the best of them and make himself look good as well as other people look good.
And for a guy who hasn't been in a WWE ring since the early 2000s, he didn't look out of place whatsoever.
No, and he's got enough polish on him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been working for so long now that he really is just able to work with almost any level of talent.
And you're a guy who's shared a locker room with him on one occasion.
Yes.
But still, what is his professionalism like?
He's all about making the best performance. He's 100% centered on creating the best possible product. He is an absolute professional.
Yeah.
He's the kind of professional that you want to see in any locker room, because he brings just what you should see. And in independent wrestling, there can be some people who are less than willing to work and do what's necessary to really
guys
excel.
Who want to get their stuff in.
Well, kind
as opposed
of,
to
the guys who come in with an ego. I was actually talking to somebody last night about it, and it's college level theater versus Broadway. You know, the Broadway people always put everything else first. They come in absolutely prepared, on time, 100% professional. But at the college level, for some weird reason, people have egos. The same way with indie wrestling. At the low level, you have this ego, but at the highest level, there's absolutely no ego, and it's all business.
And I spoke one of the most recent examples, like AJ at the Championship Wrestling from Hollywood Red Carpet Rumble. Unfortunately, that was an untelevised match, but it was so good.
I think you can see it on Patreon, though.
Really? You
I
can pay to
so.
See that one?
Maybe.
He had the IWGP championship at that time, and he carried it in a briefcase. He wanted, he like, that's a respected and like it was cherished. It wasn't like, it's just wrapped around my bag, whatever. So even just that and being able to say, hey, great match tonight was just like, it's tough. But him and why am I, I'm totally blanking, Roppongi Vice, him
Trent.
And Trent Barreta. Awesome match, mm-hmm. standing ovations to both of them. I'll never forget his audible of, what the hell are these ropes? or these ropes suck.
Yes.
Something.
Yeah.
And that was before you guys changed
we
the ropes.
We fixed them now.
Yes, you did. So come on back, AJ. And they'll never do it. But that that match and his acumen there, I never thought I would be able to see AJ Styles live. And now that he's with the WWE, there's another chance to see him at Mania, since we're making our Mania plans for the network.
Sure.
But wow, what a debut. His match with Jericho, unfortunately, I missed, but it's supposed to be
I couldn't see it either.
Pure wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy that now the main roster should have been making this a little bit more clear, but with the exclamation point of AJ Styles, it kind of makes everybody go, oh, the show's about wrestling again, or at least part of the show is about wrestling again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that gets me excited. So thank you, Clement W, for wanting getting us to talk about that. But also Chris Osborne wanted us to talk about Evolve. A lot of people wanted us to talk about Evolve. So this past weekend, there was a lot of big stuff for Evolve, and you were there on the front lines.
Yeah, I was there for all of it, Friday through Sunday, for all the shows. The first show on Friday actually took place after the tryout, so I was able to just sort of stay during the tryout and after to witness all the events firsthand. Mm-hmm. The venue was fun. It was very much a rock club in Ybor City. And
that's cool, though.
I did not know what Ybor City was about, but it's very much the arts district. It's like nothing but bars. So that was, it was good. There's a huge bar in the place, and I think it led to sort of this cool vibe. And the wrestling was as intense as you could possibly get.
Would you be able to, or highlights? What are some of the coolest matches that you saw over the weekend?
There were a lot of matches, so it's really hard to break it down. Let's break it down by talent.
Sure.
There's a kid by the name of Matt Riddle.
I know Riddle.
I think that guy's gonna go places. I really just looking at him, he has this great look. He's a multi-sport athlete. And he really is tough as nails in there. And I think that for all the right reasons, he is going to go someplace and do something. Tommy End. No one's going to be surprised that I said Tommy End.
No, but you did a lot with Tommy End over the weekend.
I did some training, a couple days of training with Tommy End. And he's been working for 15 years, and he's only 30. Like 31.
Wow, dude.
So
I mean, it's still weird to think that you've been working for 6-7 years.
Time flies.
Yeah.
But
especially
he,
in this business.
Yeah, he's a friggin' genius. So I think it's only a matter of time until he gets just signed by larger and larger companies. I think there's nothing but an upside to this guy. The only thing I had to say, and I told him this directly, I said, you kind of look like everybody else now. Despite him being from Holland, he's got all these tattoos, and he looks like everybody else who has tattoos.
Yeah, indie wrestler.
Right. So it kind of takes away from it. But his style and his abilities and his ability to work in such a high level of strikes and holds really puts him in a league of his own. There are few people who are like him.
He was making a lot of a lot of people were popping pretty hot for him over the weekend.
Yeah.
So no surprise. I mean, as you said, no surprise that Tommy End came up there. I really wish I wasn't just super swamped this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Or else I would have definitely gone on WWN Live and watched some of the Evolve events. And there was a lot of talk about Triple H was backstage.
He was backstage.
Regal was there. He did Regal do a bit with Gulak and...
He did a bit with Thatcher.
Thatcher.
He put over...
Sorry, I always think Gulak and Thatcher, and they're...
Because they're a tag team over here.
Yeah.
Over there, they're bitterly opposed to each other.
Which is why they work so well.
Right, I mean, right.
So with Thatcher, and was Riddle the other side of that?
Yeah, Riddle was the one who came out and was talking a big talk and trying to be the man.
We got a wonderful... report from Mr. Sundown Motel, Bill Hanstock, who also, I didn't realize that the NXT Orlando show was a TV taping until he went, well, that ended taping one. And it's like, well, now I know everything that happens. I'm just happy we got some Bull Dempsey on there.
Yes. Bill told me about the just Bull getting over.
Yeah.
So that's all I really care about.
we always love talking about our good buddy Bull Dempsey, but his is a thing where you're like, see, you don't always have to win. We would really, for comedy wrestlers, you don't always have to win. Worse, I'm at least a little sad that he's turned into straight up full comedy.
Yeah.
But it works so well. And he seems pretty all right with it, you know?
There's a place for comedy wrestling, and I don't... WWE doesn't see it. They don't see the purpose for comedy wrestling.
Yeah.
When, in reality, it's fills out the idea of a circus, the circus mentality. Every circus needs a clown, so you can have your acts that vary from one end of the spectrum to the other. You can have the uber-serious as well as the funny. And the wrestlers who work a more comedic style, it's cerebral. It's still competitive. They still want to win.
Yeah.
But the point is they're coming at their opponent from a completely different direction. So they don't come straight at them. They come at them from the side.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden the opponent thinks that they're in a straight wrestling match, and all of a sudden something funny happens, and it's not very funny because they're the butt of the joke and they don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. And then they get beat. You can beat somebody with comedy. It's not hard.
That's what was fun with Adam Rose first coming out, was he was that good mix of... He definitely has his faff, which I loved calling it, where he was playing around with the people, but then he got serious. And that's when you're like, it's just like, and I was talking about this earlier today, I would equate it to Avatar The Last Airbender, just in terms of storytelling, because that's a very, very serious plot, but it's made more realistic by the characters and having the lighter moments, which make the harder, the more intense moments that much more intense, because you care about them, because you see that they're trying to make light of a good situation.
Right.
So with Rose, it's a similar type of thing where it's, you have the comedy, but that makes the he's getting serious. It makes it that much more important and impactful.
Right.
And with Bull, it makes people chant Bull for when he's punching that much more loud and that much more intense. Yeah, we love Bull Dempsey. Don't like give us an excuse. So a couple of things from something that I didn't mention on the top of the show is it's kind of our 1 year anniversary, because our first show was a post Rumble show. Remember our test show was in your kitchen. And the girls came in for a little bit of it, and we started talking about WrestleMania. That was back when we were just on RAR. And again, thank you to Ken Knapsack for picking us up. But if you want to go to our Roar or on the Gimmick Pod, our Twitter account, you can find all of our old episodes. And we were talking about Roman and everything. But the Royal Rumble as a show in its entirety this year was so solid.
Yes. Like, I thought it was written really well.
It was.
And unlike the previous year, where Roman Reigns was supposed to be this big hero and it just fell so flat, you finally got it, because he was in it from almost start to finish, but he wasn't completely in it.
Yeah.
And that worked. So they found a way to eliminate him by completely running him over with the truck of the United Nations. Or whatever they're
League of
called.
Nations.
League of Nations, whatever. The Legion of Doom.
Legion of Nations.
And then he came back, and that was good, but you were able to eliminate him so that he lasted to the end, but he didn't sort of look like the big hero, but he was a hero.
But it was also very much Royal Rumble 99. It was essentially exactly that, but it wasn't... The highlight of that was Rusev stealing the monitor from the table and calling himself the TV champion.
That was hands down my favorite tweet following it. I'm the television champion now. And I saw, I think Del Rio tried to take the monitor from him at one point. Like, no, mine.
Yes. Yes. This is so stupid.
He is so funny. Yeah. So underrated in just the comedy aspect. He knows exactly what he's doing in there.
Another big highlight for me, it was on the pre-show, though, is the television return of the intellectual savior, Damian Sandow.
No kidding. I didn't watch the pre-show.
So the pre-show was a fatal four-way tag team match. Whoever won got spots in the Rumble.
Right.
You wouldn't know that because of how the people who won were billed in the Rumble. And that was Mark Henry and Jack Swagger.
Actually, I saw the end of that match, and I was just like, what happened? What? Why?
They were both in the ring for less than a minute combined.
Yeah.
Which was unfortunate. But they both changed. That was nice. They put on show tights. But it was Damian Sandow and Darren Young versus Mark Henry, Jack Swagger versus Dudley Boys versus Ascension.
So
in a great match that kind of fell apart, at the end. where Connor was just kind of like, I'm waiting for somebody to hit me instead of like trying to do something.
And then
it was all just like, that was really weird.
Henry squished Bubba, but was like, get back in here. But he's like, he's legal. And then, I'm gonna pin Victor. Like, holy
hell. I did not pay attention to who the legal man was.
I was pretty
sure that got messed up, but I suppose it was right.
Yeah.
I'll just believe him. Great match. But Damian Sandow got one of the top five pops of the night.
Really?
Like, hands down. AJ Styles.
Did he cut a promo?
No, but he came. It was Hallelujah. He came out to Hallelujah with
Darren
Young.
With the robe and the towel.
With everything.
Do they call themselves D&D?
No, but they should.
Yeah, they should.
Warriors Who Terrify. He did the elbow that has a French name that I don't remember.
Yes. Elbow de Provence? No, that's not right.
Either way. and while he's kind of working his way back up, that character was always so over that I just hope that a good 2016 for him. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why he ended up dropping it to begin with. I don't know. There are plans, and I learned this over time. There are plans that people get for other people, but then the plans change, but the person never changes back or becomes relevant again. So it just leaves them hanging. It's suspended in midair, fighting to sort of get back on the ground.
Like, he was on Up, Up, Down, Down more last year than he was on television, which is just beyond unfortunate for such an amazing talent.
That guy's been around forever. And
he has.
Yeah.
I hope we're not seeing a trend. So something else, Woosh Denny H on Twitter wanted us to talk about the concussion lawsuit / just all of the major injuries. So I don't. That's something for Justice Is Served, which is a program on BHL's on the Black Hollywood Live Network, a part of the AfterBuzz Media Group of stations. I do what I can. We're here, and the show is technically live in 5 minutes, so you can go watch them.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever you're listening to this, because again, we're not live, but it feels like we're live. But
we have the cameras.
Yeah, we have the cameras.
The cameras are on, and
sometimes
we're relatively centered. Now I'm center.
Arguably.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't really want to speak to that because we weren't there.
I don't even know who the focus of the lawsuit is.
I think it was the Punkin from Punk on Cabana's website, like, for slandering the doctors for when he got
a concussion. But that's not even a concussion. That whole thing was because of staff. So wasn't a concussion.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong, which
I don't
is why.
Know. Here's the thing about the majority of those lawsuits. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, they become null once the individual continues to wrestle outside of WWE. They become null because the person is aware of the risk at that point and continues to wrestle outside of the WWE, which means that WWE is no longer responsible for the injury to the person in question.
I agree with that.
And I don't think WWE is trying to cover it up. If anything, the NFL should no longer exist because they're horrible. WWE did their steroid thing, and that was their big thing. But the concussion thing, they're being pretty good about. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows, I was about to release an expletive just there. Everybody knows that you get concussions, period. Mm-hmm. I've had at least two. Then that's really raining it way down.
Yeah.
Probably had more. But it's necessary, and you can protect against them to a degree, but it's the price
it's still
that
full
you
contact.
Pay. Yes.
And while people are trying to get Daniel Bryan, like, we got Daniel Bryan, he got cleared by all these other people, it's still really important that he gets cleared by WWE.
Because right.
that's, I'm as much as I want to see Daniel Bryan wrestle again, I'm concerned for his health.
Right.
He should be too, even though he's gotten cleared. I mean, he could wrestle on other shows.
WWE is also interested in liability.
Exactly.
It's no longer their problem. If they release somebody for not being medically sound and they go and wrestle someplace else, that's on them.
Yeah.
But if WWE says somebody's okay to wrestle and they're not okay to wrestle, they're liable.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that goes. That's how the world works. And no matter what fairy tale you want, the world is not going to let you have that. So as soon as Daniel Bryan either leaves or something changes significantly, he's not going to wrestle for WWE.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
And it's going to be some dramatic change. But...
Until then, we have all of the major injuries for both the men and male and female divisions are beyond unfortunate. But
I think they may be overworking him too much, and that's my opinion.
Sure.
I think we need to split rosters again.
Yeah. No, I can agree with
everybody
that.
Everybody works
especially
a little bit less.
But also with how much people have been working, and yet they still have this huge roster that isn't on TV every week.
Right.
So just... You got to just pepper in the folks here and there, put them in a match here and there. But you have both run USA now. You have mm-hmm. the opportunity to fully go, well, here's what SmackDown's about, here's what Raw's about, and they're two
create
sister
two shows on
yeah.
the same network. So it's not the same show on two nights. They're two completely different shows.
Which,
I think that's what it should be.
I think that's what they're slowly moving towards.
Good.
But if anything, I think all of the injuries are allowing for opportunity.
Always.
That's what I hope for.
Always.
So
you never know as a performer when an opportunity is going to arise. And if somebody gets hurt, that can be your opportunity to do something great.
I agree.
And it's unfortunate when people get hurt. But that's the business that we're in. You take your risks, and if something bad happens, then somebody else is going to be able to step up and take your place and try and make a name for themselves. That's how the business works.
And
it's not personal. It is just business.
Yeah. And once people start to really understand, that's I think one of the problems with the fandom too is they don't understand how it is a business.
No, they're emotional, yeah.
and that's
nice.
Fine.
It's good to be emotional because that's achieving the goal. You mm-hmm. have to be emotionally invested in wrestling because that's wrestling. Wrestling is an emotional investment, but you have to be able to split your mind about it and go, okay, here's what I would like. Here's where my heart wants to go, but here's the business side, and neither of these two things can coexist,
yeah.
but they can exist separately within you.
And with
so
that,
you have to
just
use that
on this this episode of the gimmick. We're gonna wrap it up. We do have to. We're currently awaiting the start of NXT, which was a minute ago.
Yep.
And we do want to get that show underway.
And
so,
I gotta pee.
And
so,
you gotta pee. It's been a long 25 minutes. but thank you for listening to this episode of the gimmick. Hobo, put yourself over real quick.
If you want to follow the Hobo, it's at True Hobo on Twitter. ProWrestlingTees.com/Hobo is a place you can buy shirts, but I suggest you go to NXTeam.Spreadshirt.com. I can teach you how to wrestle. If you have any comments and questions about professional wrestling training, reach out to me. That's me, Brandon Taylor, at CWFH Training.
And you can find me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark. The show's Twitter account is at The Gimmick Pod. We're going to be trying to do this as more frequently now that we have a little bit more time on Wednesdays.
Not with me for the next 2 weeks.
Not with you for the next 2 weeks.
I'm going to Australia.
So maybe I'll get Bill. That was terrible. Maybe I'll get Bill on here and try to indoctrinate him into the NXT team and just talk, because I don't really talk general wrestling with him. If you want to follow,
Bill's very smart.
Our third member of the NXT team is Catherine Kelly. Go on Twitter at Catherine Kelly. She's doing a lot of stuff with Sam coming up. So
not a surprise.
Yeah, and not Sam is not a surprise. follow their adventures at not Sam at Catherine Kelly. But thank you again to Ken Knapsack and the Wrestling Viewpoint Network for the Gimmick Podcast. That's Brandon Taylor. My name is the Internet Soapbox Mark Donica, the Wrestling Realist. We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.